Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. It is the second day of March. My name is Joanne. I'm really happy to be here with you today. This one might be a little bit longer of a podcast, but we'll see how we can work through some of these things that God wants to say. I was noticing a common message over the weekend. And so I've just kind of prepared scriptures and some of the testimonies, the things that, you know, when God is showing you the same thing in different scenarios in a period of time, you pretty well know that he's trying to communicate something. This has to do with the area of abuse, okay? And so it's a very freeing word to mothers and to daughters. And so we're just going to go into this deep area. And I'll tell you what, it's liberating and it is freeing. Even if you're thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'll tell you what, you just hang in and listen to this, because the anointing is strong right now. What the Father is doing, this is actually what I see him doing. I see him kicking a stone away from a tomb, because, you know, inside the tomb is death, okay? And that stone is rolled in front of it, and let's just keep that death in there. We don't want to roll that stone out. It's better covered up, you know? It's better just to cover up this stuff. But every once in a while, God has enough, and he kicks the stone out of the way, because he plans to bring out in resurrection life, okay? 2020, one of the thoughts, troubling thoughts, that I've had for children and families who were quarantined and enclosed in their houses together, is that we don't know what some of these children have experienced over this past year. And as they come out, we as the people of God, we need to be brave enough to confront some of these things that they may have endured and encountered. And so we need to be equipped. And so this word can actually equip you on how to minister to people who have been in abuse situations. So let's allow God. I mean, he's going to kick the stone out anyway, right? When God rolls a stone, there's nothing stopping him. And what I was seeing over the weekend is just this increase of the glory and the presence of God. And when he comes in greater power, he confronts evil. Okay, the things that are hidden are not allowed to stay hidden. Okay, because God's a man of confrontation. All we have to do is look at the life of Jesus and see that he will confront the things that need to be confronted. And we're going to start off talking about Jesus and the way that he treated women. You know, he came to liberate the oppressed. And women in his day were considered so much less than men. I mean, they weren't allowed to testify in court. They couldn't divorce husbands. Only husbands could divorce them. They had so few rights. They were basically property. And Jesus came to set the oppressed free. And when we look at the way that he treated women in the Gospels, he didn't have to say a word, because every one of his interactions with women communicated value to them. It communicated love. It communicated tenderness. And Jesus said these words, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So how Jesus treated women reveals how the Father feels about women. And so we're going to look at a few of these. You know, just right off the top, Jesus appeared to a woman first when he was resurrected. You know, you go to that story in John chapter 20, it says, early in the morning on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. And you know the story, you know, they found that the stone had been rolled away. They went and told the disciples. Everyone came back and looked. They were perplexed. And Mary stood there weeping. And then Jesus appears to her. And he gives a woman his first post-resurrection appearance and says to her, "Go and tell that I am risen from the dead." You see, Jesus will empower women to do the work of the ministry. I love this about the woman at the well in John chapter 4, because Jesus engages in conversation with this woman, and she mentions, well, I know that when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus flat out says to a woman, I who speak to you am he. He says to a woman, I am the Messiah. And I mean, all kinds of people all throughout his ministry, where they were asking him, are you? Are you? Are you? But he never flat out says it until he says, I am. But the first time he says it is to a woman, and then she goes and evangelizes her city. So Father God believes that women are able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. How else did Jesus treat women? Well, he taught them. In their day, Pharisees and religious leaders only taught men. They didn't teach a woman the law. And when you see references in the Gospels, like the feeding of the 5,000, where it says there were 5,000 men besides women and children, you know, we here in the United States, we think, oh, that was a really big number of people. But the point that the writer was making is that Jesus was teaching women. He allowed women to hear what God had to say. And this is something I felt the Lord really strong on today. Jesus was showing us women get to hear the voice of God. Okay, women get to hear God too. How else did Jesus treat women? He alleviated their suffering. You think about Mary Magdalene delivered from seven demons. You think about the widow of Nain, whose son, the only source of income, her son died, and Jesus raised this boy from the dead. You think about the woman who was bent over and couldn't straighten up for 18 years. Jesus raised her up. So all of these miracles that Jesus did, he alleviated their suffering, and he was showing women get to be set free too. Okay, Jesus sets women free from all oppression, from all demonic suffering, from all sickness. He raises them up. You know, like it says in Acts chapter 2, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And we can honor women without discrediting men, okay? Just because we honor one doesn't mean that we're elevating them above the other. So, what happened this weekend? Well, you know that I am in the youth ministry, one of the youth ministries at our church. And I get to sit in a room with sixth grade girls, and it's like the breakout session after the worship and message, and we discuss, you know, the topic. This week it was on honor in our families, and it had some really deep questions, you know, about what is the level of honor in your family, and how well are you doing at honor? You know, can you honor your parents even when you disagree with them? So we got into some good discussion. But among these 12-year-old girls, I also had a visitor this last week, and she's only 9. You know, she was sitting in there listening to all this discussion, and she spoke up, and she said, my dad tells me I'm stupid. And, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, put on the brakes. We've got to address this. And so I started asking her, you know, in that situation, can you look at your dad and say, I disagree with you. I'm smart. And she said, no, because I'm usually crying and he won't let me speak. So the Lord, you know, I have to lean on the Holy Spirit, because you know what, in those moments, we don't want to roll the stone in front of the tomb. Okay? I mean, is that the ministry of the church? Oh, let's just cover that up. It'll be okay. I mean, no. We need to let the death be dealt with and let resurrection life come forth. Because God's wanting to restore people to his image, okay? And this little girl needed some restoration. So, you know, just off the cuff, you know, shooting at the hip. Holy Spirit, come quick. Help me. And the Holy Spirit helped me say these words to her. You know, I am so sorry that someone has spoken to you that way. And your Father in heaven wants you to know that he is not like that. Your Father in heaven says that he loves you. Your Father in heaven says that you are beautiful, that you are valuable, and that you are smart. You know, she just kind of nodded her head. I said, I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I said, I want you to put yourself in that situation when those words are being spoken to you. And I said, can you imagine those words coming towards you and then just going over your head and going right on past you and just not even going into you? And she kind of nodded her head. I said, okay, that's what you're going to have to do. In those situations, you're going to have to see those words just go right on past you and right out the door. And then I said, when you go into your room, I want you to say this out loud. I want you to say, my Father in heaven loves me. My Father in heaven says I'm smart. You know, and some of those other uplifting things. Because I really believe in that situation where she is receiving verbal abuse and the fear and the intimidation and the oppression as a young woman, the message that's being presented to her is that she's powerless. The message that's being presented to her is that she has to stand there and take it. And God wants to kick that stone, okay? God wants to roll that stone off. And you know, this wasn't the only situation I came into this weekend where this message was confronted about young women and women in this type of abusive atmosphere. And, you know, just praying into it, the Lord gave me a word for the men. And it's this: I know you work hard, but that does not give you the right to use anger, fear, and intimidation to control women. And I believe that's what the Father is saying in these situations. You know, whether it's verbal abuse, emotional, physical, even spiritual abuse, using, you know, the Word of God to control people, or sexual abuse. No man has the right to use those things, or to use his power to oppress women and to try and control them. I mean, Father is not happy with it. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And again, I want to say that, you know, God is restoring people to his image. The whole point of shining the light on this is so that we can reflect him and be restored in his image. And, you know, sometimes these things just need to be brought to the light. You know, I said earlier, you know, as his glory and his presence increases, these things will be confronted. With that glory comes light, and light shines on darkness and exposes things. And if Father wants to confront these things, it's so that restoration can take place in our lives, so that we can be restored to the image that we were created to be, the image of our Father. So that relationships can be restored. There be, like it says in Romans 13, love does no harm to a neighbor. Okay, this is what Father is doing right now. So, did Jesus confront abuse? I believe he did. And this is what I find in the Gospels. This is found in Matthew chapter 24, because he's talking about when he returns, who is he going to be finding that is faithful and wise? Verse 48 says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his return, and he begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe, you know, we as the church, this is word, right here. This is the words of our Lord, and it is a strict warning that we should have no shame in presenting what our Master Jesus said about beating people and about abuse. Because if someone thinks that they're ready for Jesus' return and they're doing that, Jesus basically says, you're not going to be ready when I come back if this is what you're engaging in. And I just believe we need to present this word, you know, without fear and, you know, without shame, to warn people, you know, to turn from that. This is what's so amazing about God. It says if we will confess our sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the minute that we say, Father, I have done wrong, will you forgive me? He says, yes. And then, like the woman caught in adultery, he says, now go and sin no more. Don't do that again. Okay? Calling us to perfection. I have a sign in my living room that I got at Hobby Lobby where it says, there may be nothing greater than a life well loved. And I hang that sign and I read it to remind myself to speak to my daughter in a way that is going to love her. Because you know what? I'm not perfect. And there's times that I've lost control of my temper and my words. And I think one time I saw how bad I had hurt her with something that I said. And so I put that sign up in my living room to remind me, love her well. And I mean, you know, even as parents, there's things that we do, there's things that we say that, oh man, if we could take it back, we sure would. And God restores, God heals. But man, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded as parents how, as a person in a position of authority, how our words affect people, how our actions affect people, and allow God to change us. Let's see. So many good notes. I just feel like the Lord is raising up women. He's giving them a fresh fire and a fresh power to war over their children, okay? Or maybe to war over someone else's children. There's an anointing on this right now to speak the truth in love, and then there will be a power behind your words that actually brings change. I was hearing about the lioness anointing, or I had heard a couple weeks ago about the she-bear. You know, you don't want to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. I mean, women have something in them that is just so protective of their children. Do you think it is any question why the serpent came to Eve instead of Adam? I mean, it's crazy to think that he did it because he thought she was weaker than man. But maybe it's because Satan knew something about the woman that she didn't realize about herself, that the ability to pass on the warfare to our children threatens the enemy. Okay, I mean, God sees us that way, as powerful warriors, powerful women who can pass on things to our children to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I think that's what Satan was trying to come against. And, you know, when the Bible says of Eve, I will make a helpmeet suitable for Adam, the word helpmeet is Ezer. And, you know, to really unpack what that means, it means a lifesaver. And the same word Ezer in other parts of Scripture refers to God himself. And so he has taken that word and he has bestowed that word upon women, okay? In other words, you're a lifesaver to your family. That's how God sees us. Amen. All right. One of the things that we talked about in middle school in the month of February was forgiveness, you know, among our families. But it did a beautiful job distinguishing between when you need to forgive someone and when you're actually in danger. And if someone is being abused, you know, to forgive someone over and over and over is not just. They need to be removed from danger, okay? The situation needs to change. And so there's a difference between forgiving someone their offense and then actually being put in a situation that is harmful. And in that case, someone needs to be told, you know, the stone needs to be kicked out of the way. And yeah, we might even have to look in there and see the death, okay? But also pull it out into resurrection life. So sometimes it just means bringing light upon, you know, some of these horrible things, exposing them, telling someone what you're going through that you can trust, not someone too close to the situation. Because, you know, sometimes the people that are closest to the situation are the ones that are rolling the stone and covering it up. But, you know, whether it's a teacher at school, a leader at church or whatever, you know, bringing these things into the light helps the restoration to begin. So I just want to encourage you as women, how your father sees you and how incredibly important you are in the kingdom. Again, when you read the Gospels, Jesus didn't say a lot about the treatment of women. He talked about how we treat each other, period. But if you look at the ways that he interacted with women, he broke down barriers. And he broke the oppression off of women. He brought them into freedom and to work alongside him, to minister with him. You know, his closest friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, okay? He hung out with them. So just know that Jesus's interaction with women was very liberating. It was very freeing. And he believes the best about you. Your father in heaven, you know, would never hurt you. All right? So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power of the gospel to raise dead things to life. We thank you for the power of the gospel to restore people to your image. And Father, we pray that this would take place. Father, we're so thankful for the glory, the presence, and the power that you are pouring out upon your people and upon your church. And Father, we thank you that you roll stones away from tombs and you bring dead things to life. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this area where you're confronting abuse and you're setting things right. We give you the praise, God. It's because you love us. It's because you love your people. And so, Father, let healing come. Let that restoration come. Let freedom come. Father, let us bear your image well. And we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Okay, until next time.